that the best space for corporate innovation occur in the intersection of new technological possibilities with new consumer behaviors.
All this will be disrupted in the next 5 to 10 years.
Personalization to personalization. Hello, everyone. This is the Humans of Digital podcast. My name is Paula Ehler. I'm CEO of Box 1724. And I'm glad to be here with our CEO, Cesar Gon, and Bruno Guicardi, US President of CI&T. We are going to talk today about the future of working with AI, the challenges and opportunities for large companies, of course, thinking about the ethical and the social responsibility barriers, as well as emerging trends in AI that will impact corporations in the coming years. First of all, we are so happy to be here at Web Summit Rio in a booth in the middle of the pavilion, like really next to the stage 8. So super glad to be here. Bruno will talk a few hours later, as am I, and about a lot of things that we are thinking of. And I'm really glad to be here with you both to talk about how will AI impact the corporate world. My name is Paula Englert. I'm CEO at Box 1824. I'm here with Cesar Gon, CEO of CI&T, and here with Bruno Guicardi, president of CI&T in the US. So just for the beginning to warm up this conversation, Bruno and Cesar, what do you think that represents hosting an event like Web Summit in Rio and putting Brazil in the map and of course in the Latin America map also, thinking about this technology development and environment that is so important for us?
Thank you, Paula. It's really amazing to be here. Thank you for having us today. I'm very thrilled to be in the second edition of Web Summit in Rio. I've been saying that I believe that if the city continued this initiative, not for 2 or 3 years, but for a decade, there is a real possibility that we change the landscape and really change the city's possibilities around technology and innovation. But of course, Web Summit only is not enough. You need to articulate all the stakeholders to create a real innovation ecosystem. But I think it's a good start, and I'm thrilled that the city is continuing this path. What do you think, Bruno?
Well, really excited to be here today. This event is amazing. Really happy to be here. And I think that's it's a great opportunity for Rio, for Latin America, I think, to portray what's happening in the region. I think there's such an amazing amount of innovation coming out of the region that can be, you know, a lighthouse, can be, you know, really something to show around the world. If you look at the innovations in, you know, in financial services and payments that's going on in Brazil and Latin America, is actually, you know, it's top of the world. It's best in class worldwide. It's, I think, just providing visibility what's going on in the ecosystem here. I think it's a great thing for Rio, for Brazil, and for Latin America. And I'm happy to contribute.
Yeah, and it's great to see this the world seeing Latin America and the Global South also as like this really important place that it's not only consuming and importing what is being built up around the globe, but also being a hub for innovation and technology.
Yes, I'm saying that Rio can continue to be amazingly beautiful, but also turn to a tech rebel.
Yeah.
Or innovation.
A fantastic place to be, and also a tech hub is going to be like unbeatable. So just for us to begin, Cesar, I know you have you wrote an article that it was like amazing. I think almost now a year ago, that it was about software is eating the world, AI is changing the menu. So talking about this AI layer, how do you think this will change, and of course it's already changing, the repertoire and everything that is related to companies about what we will face, like this change of the way we work, the change the way we do business, the way we study. I think this new technology, that it's Gen AI, of course, not only AI, that will tackle everything that as we know. And what do you think it's beginning to happen, and how you feel this, you felt this change of knowledge inside the companies and the clients and the society?
It's a lot of questions, Paula. I always start by saying that I think by now it's very clear that we are on the verge of probably the most disruptive moment in the history of computers on Earth. And if you look, of course, there is a lot of hype surrounding AI, leading to misconceptions, inflating expectations. But if we remove all the hype, I think we are in front of a very transformative technology, general purpose technology that has the potential to impact every single industry and aspect of human life. So, and the challenge for us humans, I think there's an empirical fact that we tend to overestimate the change that will occur in the next 2 years, but radically underestimate the change that will occur in the next 10. So the threat for all of us is in action. We need to understand how this technology will mature and how we as society will adapt and then analyze scenarios for how to position business and the society as a whole. So I think we are in front of a lot of challenges, but a huge opportunity to really transform the world. We can talk more about this.
Yeah. And Bruno, we know AI, of course, opens up big set of new opportunities for humanity. But in your opinion, what is the perfect integration of AI into these everyday lives? And how can we really create a way to democratize this knowledge? Because if this keeps inside of just one group of people, I think we will not reach the potential that we can, of course, face with this new technology.
I don't have a lot of concerns of how we're going to democratize it. I think, of course, the whole Gen AI phenomenon got to be noticed because of ChatGPT and just one product. But we have dozens of other initiatives going on there. We have open source models that will certainly provide access for people that want to take advantage of this technology. So I don't think there will be a lack of options of how to use it. And so there'll be a lot of shades and a lot of large language models there available for people to use and tap into. To your question, how to integrate this in everyday life, right? So what is this technology is really good, right? What is really good at? Right? It is into shared knowledge, right? In context, right? So that's what is really good. So think of I think the perfect example we just did for a client of ours, which is kind of onboarding new employees, right? So we did this new onboarding application experience for new employees. That is, you join, you very rapidly, you getting into the context of that individual, what they already know, and just provide processes and practices that are new to them, right? So very quickly, instead of how it was this process 20 years ago, you got into a new bank, you got a 3-inch thick book of procedures and processes that you have to read through, right? Regardless what we already know, right? So now, very quickly, a large language model can understand what you know, and just you only learn the delta. Only learn, so it's much faster, much more productive. It feels awesome, right? It's a completely different, productivity and type of experience that you can provide. So that kind of a providing knowledge at the point of need in at context. That's amazing, right? So that creates opportunities for, you know, hyper personalization of experiences, right? So what works for you not necessarily works for me, right? So that creates us, you know, just a range of new experiences and new opportunities that will be created for individuals and for business.
Yeah, I think seeing this new technology with such a power regarding language in a more cognitive way is something that will like facilitate the conversation and the relationship of everybody around the world, not only in a synthetic use like the technology talking to itself, but also helping people to better communicate, to better take decisions, to study better, to learn better. So it's really, really...
To better themselves.
Yeah, yeah. To power up themselves. I think it's going to be fantastic. What we see at Box studying this like deeply in the last 18 months is that we are really in the dawn of the new revolution. We are calling this the creative revolution. So not being past and CI&T being such an important company inside the tech, the digital revolution. How you guys see nowadays, and I think this is a good question for both of you, what will be the main challenges of companies inside of this new environment? Not only, of course, thinking, I think we call it at Box, the building-born companies that are the ones that has born and being big inside of the industrial revolution, then the cloud-born companies, the ones that have been relevant and really changed the world inside of the digital revolution. And now in the dawn of this creative revolution, is a new set of skills, is a new set of words, is a new set of really power that you have to develop to be relevant inside of this perspective. How do you guys think the companies has to be ready to face this new moment that we are beginning to live in the world?
Paula, I would start with the change perspective. Based on my experience helping large companies to embrace change, I've come to believe that the speed of change is an equation of the speed of learning. So, and this happens at the personal level and the corporate level. So, and when you think, what is there to learn? I think to answer that question, it's important to recognize that the best space for corporate innovation occurs in the intersection of new technological possibilities with new consumer behaviors. These two forces of change are interlinked. Real disruptions will occur when you have these two forces at play. And what we are experiencing with AI is both a new set of tech avenues, tech possibilities, combined with the rapid adoption of AI by millions, as we saw with this brilliant journey of ChatGPT and now several new models. And to increase the speed of change, companies need to accelerate learning both areas, understanding the capabilities of AI, the technology itself, but also spend time and effort or using Box to comprehending the new frontiers of consumer behavior in this world powered by AI. So I think the big challenge is this, is that speed of learning will determine your speed of change. And that's a red on the table of the leadership of every single company.
And I think there's a trap that companies have to try to escape, which is be too focused on the big changes that will bring, like, you know, the long-term changes, and don't act on the short-term, the quick wins, and how actually we can start learning today. Right, because mostly those big problems, how you actually will, you know, change business models, how we're going to completely change your customer experience, those are, you know, massive transformations that also bring big risks.
Right? Yeah.
and some companies just be kind of frozen with the big decisions and don't do, you know, the building blocks that could take them there, right? So like you have to act on both fronts. You have to be planning how this will impact your business in a big way, right? But you can start, and this technology provides for that, you can start small, with processes that are more internally faced, that are not consumer faced, that there's no risks, right? So supervised, right? So you can start and you should start. So you start that learning journey, and then actually we'll increase and make your strategies for the long run even more powerful, because then it will come from a point of actually understanding, point of experience that technology, and not from where most of the people are today, from the point of just guessing.
Yeah.
So that's absolutely no. You have to start flexing your muscles and do those things that are at your control with less risk right now. Like while you actually start kind of planning for the long-term big transformation.
Yeah, what we have a design box and CI&T together is this three stages of maturity regarding Gen AI, that it's the first is experimentation, the second one is acceleration, and the third one is disruption. So I totally agree with you. Like when you think about disrupting, when you think about beginning on the disruptive field, you will freeze.
You try to run before you crawl.
Yeah, this is impossible. So beginning with the experimentation process and then building a more mature opinion, and of course this, all your boundaries and safeties that you have to develop to be there, and then to accelerate through at the end of the day, as Cesar said, in 5 years probably. Of course, you can see and you will see a lot of things being disrupted, but you must begin now. I think from a different perspective, as we have lived regarding the digital transformation, we saw a lot of players thinking, oh no, we have to be safe and we have to, let's see if this is gonna stick. It will. So. I'm used to say now that in between fear and amusement, you have knowledge. So as Cesar said, we have to and this literacy. How do you think a leader has to be more connected, and companies? How you have to invest in literacy regarding Gen AI to help this transformation to go better?
That's a critical point, right? Because you can't start changing processes and ways of working from a point of view of just guessing, right? So you have to actually do it. You have to go through the learning process, do it. So then you realize, and most of what we realize in this journey, certainly longer, it's actually that the biggest impact will come from actually change the way you work, right? So that's one sort of technology that is the biggest impact comes after you understand, you know, how it works, and then it influences the way you think, right? So then you kind of you refactor processes to actually take advantage of that, right? So but it's not like trying to adapt the technology to your, you know, automating small steps of your work. It's actually thinking differently about your work and how to leverage that. So then it's kind of where the 2x, 3x, 5x impact comes from.
Paula, I have a bold line about the future in AI. And I'm saying that in a few decades, the disparity between current and future jobs will be as vast as comparing medieval occupations with our contemporary way of work. So as leaders, I think it's inescapable that we prepare ourselves to such a new world.
Yes.
So, and it's a very common question I receive from executives. And I have a kind of a framework or a threefold answer for that, how we prepare ourselves for this new world. I think the first is to be a hungry student. So dedicate quality time to reading and listening deeply about this topic. The second is to be a diligent and creative user. So find a way to incorporate AI in our daily routine as a user. And finally, be a mental business strategist. So exercise your synapses to figure out how AI will change several aspects of the corporate world and our life. So, and additionally, if you are an engineer or a similar, or even a rusty one like me, I also recommend you get back coding in this new world. It's, I don't know if it's going to help, but you're going to enjoy a lot.
Cesar, just hearing you out and thinking about what Bruno just said, I think if we are thinking about someone that is already inside the tech world, so it's a CTO or is inside of that part of the company, I think listening to you is going to be like way easier to be like a student and then use it. And then, of course, if you go coding and, of course, being able to recreate the way you think that it's recreating the way you do the synapses is super challenging. So, and I think when we are a leader that it's already a CEO or a VP, we are used to be more away of the real deal of the job. We are like in a decision maker moment in life. So be back to study and be back to use a new technology. Maybe it's something that they have never done. So I think this is a bold invitation. So just if you can, and you guys being so close to the this environment.
That's a great point, Paula, because
I think it's a challenge, like a huge challenge.
Yeah, and it's a great disruption, right? Because you think of what the corporate world has learned to do in this 150 years. To structure work in all specializations, to kind of make work very, in hierarchies, like a lot of things that we invented to control work, right?
Yes.
All this will be disrupted in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
Right? So the work, the productivity, like the flow of the knowledge, we have a completely different speed, right? So probably things that I don't know are done by, team of 50 people will be done by a team of 2 or 3. So the work of the leader, which was just to structure work and make sure work was flowing through all the
to keep the pace
functions and the specialities, all this may go away. So like the closeness to actually the leaders to actually what the real work is, it's absolutely critical to actually to keep themselves relevant in this future.
And Cesar, just to leverage one stage further, and the boards, how the boards of the companies can be like talking about this whole new life and environmental, if they are in many ways super away from what is truly going on.
Yeah, well, I think surprisingly, I see artificial intelligence as a very important topic being discussed on the board of large corporations. It's kind of different from the first chapter of the digital revolution, where it took a lot of years for digital to really get the status of being considered strategic. But AI is different. I think. Probably because there is a recall for the first chapter where companies delayed to action and paid the price. Now I see, a higher sense of urgency regarding the opportunities and risks of this disruption. So, but of course, AI is not a simple matter to understand. So I think there is a lot of need for the boards to interact with the CEO, with the executives, to understand what is the current level of awareness inside the company, what the competitors are doing, and then help the team to strategize around the opportunities and how to mitigate the risks of this disruption. So I think it's, of course, there's different stages, depends on the culture and this, even the segment, the vertical segment of each company. But I think what I see is everyone starting to grasp what is there in terms of opportunities and risks. That is good news, but the challenge is huge, because it's an evolving, it's a moving target. Every single week we have thousands of novelties, and the evolution is not clear. Again, the technology is maturing, the consumers, we don't know yet how exactly the consumers will react to such a disruption. So there's a lot of to be figured out in the years to come.
And the pressure from consumers, to Cesar's previous point, right? So that's going to change the speed that is needed to companies to respond, right? So because as you see previous changes, right? So the mobile revolution, right? So once consumers had access to that type of experience, they start demanding that experience from their brands and from their companies that they do business with, right? So as more people are using those large language models and incorporate them in their lives, that pressure will start to become bigger, right? So they will start, looking at their banks and say, hey, how come you're so difficult to do business with? Yeah. Like they're telecom companies. How come I call your agents and they don't know, nothing about, what they're doing? How can you provide that type of experience that I have here with all those other apps, right? So that will create pressure for companies to respond at a different speed, right?
Yeah.
We're not there yet, but as those apps and those experiences they progress, we're gonna see that pressure building up and forcing all the more traditional companies to move, or it will be an open up window opportunity for new disruptors to come in and own the last mile on that.
Yeah. What we see at Box is that many times when we're doing an innovation project for a company, companies compare themselves with the competitors, and people compare companies with everyone. And this is crazy. I always say, do you really think that people are comparing that this bank, the bank number one, with the bank number two, with the bank number three? They are not. They are comparing experience with experience. So if I go online and book a ticket to go to CINT to visit you, Bruno, in New York, and then by the end of this movement, I go inside my app, my bank app, and do something, and I will compare these both experiences and not bank with bank.
I compare Uber with the United
Uber
app.
Any United
listeners here, the United app sucks. But you get out of an Uber and you just open your United app, and there's nothing context.
Nothing relevant. This is crazy. And I think the pressure, we are going from talking about behavior trends. We are moving fast from personalization to personalization. Thinking that it's a little bit more for you, that being sure that it's for you, it's made for you. And Gen AI will accelerate this in a way that it's fantastic, big time. Bruno and Cesar, I would like to hear from you both. How is CINT preparing? I think we are already thinking a lot about this, but how we are planning the next 5 to 10 years? What are we changing? What are you aiming to achieve in this next 2-5 years regarding this new Gen AI revolution?
Sure, Paula. My main priority as CEO of CINT is to transform the company into a AI-first company as quickly as possible. And to achieve this, we have three major initiatives. I think the most visible one is the creation of CINT Flow platform, aiming to redesign the entire flow of producing digital solutions. That's what we do. But also reimagining every single offering of CI&T to be enabled by artificial intelligence. The second and third initiatives are less visible, but equally important. It involves rethinking every internal process and activities with AI in mind. So, and finally, the third initiative is individual, aimed to help each CI&T-er to become an AI-boosted professional. So I think this journey is going to happen in the business level as we transform CI&T in an AI-first company, in our process as we reshape the way we operate with AI, and finally, maybe the most important part is in the individual level, where everyone feels part of this revolution, being prepared to be an AI empowered professional. So it's a threefold. And another thing that is I think very nice about this moment, that we are sharing what we are learning with our clients and learning a lot from them, because this transformation is inevitable for everyone. So it's a very good moment
of journey,
collectively learning and transform this in a very I would say insightful way to prepare CI&T and our customers to the future.
You know, like, and it's a very exciting journey. I think it's just we're very I guess blessed to be living in this time and moment. It's we already, with the all the investments as you mentioned, we already seen, you know, tremendous impact. We're seeing, you know, 2x productivity gains and speed and the building of, you know, digital experiences. And we think this will just accelerate, to Cesar's point, and the human point, like this. We want to be, you know, the house for the super developers, the super designers, the people that have really the power, use the power of AI to do, you know, to exponentially increase their impact and what they can do, right, for society, for clients. Right? So to really, I think we're just in the beginning of this, and the journey will be really exciting.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you both. It was like a great conversation. It was a pleasure. Now let's enjoy Web Summit Real. We have so much to see and be aware today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Paula.
Thank you, Paula, Bruno. Thank you for everyone that is listening to us.
Any final thoughts?
Well, let's enjoy Rio.
Ah,
yeah,
agree with you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you.